Your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26 tonight. I want to share with you, I was watching, as many of you were, I know I've heard some of you comment, some of you may not. I was thinking this week how different things could have been. We watched another Supreme Court nominee get Brett Kavanaugh get nominated by the president. There has been all kinds of manner of opposition. I was thinking, and by the way, our salvation is not in America. America's got its problems. But America has been a special nation, and I believe it's been a special nation because of the way it was founded. I believe the source in which it looked to find wisdom to set up its founding documents and the type of government that it would have. Some people have argued that it's not a Christian nation, but I would argue, whether you want to call it a Christian nation or not, you can't take away from the fact that 92% of all founding documents was either influenced or directly related to Scripture. You can also not take away that the first 13 colonies, that to run for an office in the first 13 colonies, you had to profess to be a Christian. If you denied Jesus, you couldn't run for office. Did you know that? A lot of things have changed. But I was thinking this week, had we not got someone that would put back conservative ideas in the country, and if we had, if the election had went to Hillary Clinton, and she had continued putting on the Supreme Court two justices, and we added that to the court existing as it is, I wonder if we could have a Christian school. Because we could not prohibit homosexuals from teaching in it. We could not preach against homosexuality. It would just been a short time until they would be coming shutting those things down.
Amen.
Some of you may not know, but when President Obama was in charge, we were constantly getting harassed by surveys and had to fill out forms, and they would try to get us to fill out forms to tell them about what we did here and what went on. And I refused to do that. But it could have turned, it could have been a real change in the direction. I was watching this week, and I wondered if we took time to thank the Lord for the way things turned out. You know, I hope that Ginsburg, I watched as President Obama put Kagan and what's her name? Sotomayor, and put those two ladies on the court. Had very little experience, especially one of them, had no experience basically as judge. And yet, they went through virtually untouched. And in this one, all kinds of havoc. And my mind went back to the fact of Jesus, how that he faced a wicked world. The world is an enemy to good. It calls evil good and good evil. It hasn't changed. I want to share some things here, and then I want to kind of pick back up on this in just a moment. But begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 26, in verse number 57. Talking about the soldiers where they came to the garden and got Jesus. The Bible says, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. I was thinking about that this week, and I was watching. I wonder how many assemblies they had behind closed doors to plan the attack on this justice. You know, I don't even know that Judge Kavanaugh is saved. I know he talked about his daughter's praying, and I know he's of the Catholic faith. But I do know this, that he has to believe in Jesus if he's saved. I know that relatively, as the world probably looks at, he has a relatively clean life to a certain degree. But still yet, looking at him and looking at decisions he made, he bases decisions upon more of a conservative idea to protect rights and those type of things. He looks to the Constitution, the original documents, to try to figure out what is right and what's wrong. The liberals have pushed and promoted judges that would basically promote their ideology. And instead of looking at the document, you know, the original documents, the protection of life, liberty, and happiness, would never allow someone to take an unborn baby. If you went back to the original writers of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights that we have, there's no way that they would have supported killing a baby. And they would have stood up and been the first to say that a baby, even in the womb, has the right of any other human being in America. Many things like that has changed. Had it not been for President Obama and his liberal position, I don't think we would ever seen the homosexuality promoted like it was promoted, and marriage promoted like it was. Somebody said, it doesn't matter. I'm not worried about the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter. It does matter. There's a lot of things that it matters about. And I thank God for that. However, I will say this, it did show the immaturity, it showed the wickedness, it showed the childishness of our nation. And anyway, let's begin on verse 58. It says, but Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Now did you notice that? Sought false witness against Jesus. And they found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Amen. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blaspheming. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blaspheming. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face, and they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter said, in the palace, a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewaileth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Now let me say something before I get into this text. Let me say something more about this justice and selecting. I would be the first to tell, because I've heard some people say, well, you support the justice, and what you do is you ignore violence to women. Let me say this. Any man that would be guilty of trying to rape a woman or sexually molest a child or a woman has no business on the court and Supreme Court. But let me also say that just because someone says that they did something and they come to 35 years later and they've never said nothing about it, they don't remember where it was, they don't remember when it was. I don't know about you, but I've had some pretty traumatic things happen at times. And each of those things, I can tell you about everything that happened around me. I do understand sometimes you don't want to communicate things to certain people. But I also understand that you don't want to wait till the last minute. It was obvious that he was being railroaded in some things. Because when you follow some issues, you find that there was a lot of deceit going on behind the scenes. There was a lot of planning. There was a lot of persuasion, as a matter of fact. As most of you know, they requested another FBI investigation, and they found that some of the witnesses were persuaded to say things that wasn't true. In other words, they were told to be false witnesses. It was obvious that several others jumped in at the last, began to pile on, said, well, he did this and he done that. Well, I think it was him. I don't remember his face. But yet not one fact nowhere could be found. I watched his wife's face as he stood and had to answer those questions. I seen the pain in her face, and I thought the humiliation. And some people said, well, he got upset. He doesn't have the temperament to be a judge. If those people were saying that about me and was untrue, I'd be pretty upset too. I'd probably want to tell people a few things myself, especially when my daughters and my wife, and for the rest of my life, those was going to follow me if they were not true. God knows and God sets all things right. But my point is what we saw was, we saw it turned into a circus. People paid protesters. You got some people that pays protesters to go all these places and make a spectacle of themselves. You watch them, women that run in the elevators and scream at them, and those are all being paid. Paid. And the louder they got, the more money they made. The bigger spectacle that they made, the more that sorrows gave them. It's amazing, and I was thinking as I was watching, what a circus. Then I was watching them on the other side. And by the way, let me say this. Sometimes Republicans can be, I've seen some of them be just as bad in some situations. But I was thinking when the women come up in Obama's reign, they didn't pull that kind of capers on them. I remember watching Judge Clarence Thomas, how pitiful that situation was. He called it a lynching, and that was basically what it was. And to see it happen again, and they didn't care how they didn't care that they was just trying to destroy a life. A life meant nothing to them. Harm. And I got thinking the same thing that Jesus faced, he was facing. He faced betrayal. Some that should have supported him did not. You know why? They were like Peter. They were afraid. Scared. They had false testimony against him. And they kept coming up with false testimony, and they thought they'd just carry it out. And you may say, well, preacher, I don't think you ought to preach on politics. This is not politics, I'm telling you. If it went the other way and we'd had two more liberal judges that could sway the court, this country would be in terrible, terrible problems. Amen. We saw wickedness. We saw hatred. Did you see how hatred was expressed toward him? Then they jumped up, well, we believe this one, we believe that one, and yet they had no bearing and no facts at all. Tonight I want to share with you Jesus. I read a story, and this illustration illustrates Jesus. This father was in this country, and this is a true story. He was in a country, and it was one where they didn't have freedoms like we have. He was a doctor. He was well up in the community. And so therefore, he decided his voice against human rights and abuse of human rights. And he condemned the police for what they were doing. They were pulling people in and raping women, and they were injustice to people and doing things and having their way with whatever they wanted to do, because it was a militant controlled country. And so he voiced his opposition to them. And what they did was they came in and they arrested his teenage son. And they took him to prison. And they beat the boy and tortured him to death. They called him and told him that his son was in prison, come get him. And when he went there, he found him on a bloody mattress. He'd been beaten. He'd had electrical shocks all over his body. He had cigarette burns all over his face, all over his body. He'd been clubbed, he'd been cut, and he was laying there dead, all mangled, bleeding on that mattress. The neighbor, a lot of community, wanted to have a major protest and get it right. The father said no. And he took his son, and he had the funeral, but instead of getting a coffin, he laid him on the mattress just as he found him in prison. He put no clothes on him. He left him naked, bleeding, scarred. And everybody in the community walked by, and they saw the tortured body of that teenage boy. And they were able to look and observe the wickedness. And you know, they could have went through a protest, and he could not have protested any greater than to show the injustice that was done to his son. I'm sure many people looked this week and thought what injustices was being done. But you know, when we look upon Jesus, we see the very Son of God. They sought false witnesses, they could find none. Whenever I look, I find several things. Look with me just a moment, if you would, about Jesus. Notice, if you would, in chapter 26, verse 47. The Bible says, while they yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. You see, Jesus was betrayed. I was thinking this week, watching, and they were talking about how that the professor was betrayed by somebody in Feinstein's office. And I was thinking, well, she may have been betrayed, but of course she lawyered up and all that. She prepared for this several months ago. So I'm not so sure how betrayed she was. But Jesus was betrayed by one of his own. Judas went. Then, of course, they went and they found in chapter 26, where we read in 59 and 60, they began to try to find false witnesses. They couldn't find false witnesses. They could not find someone that could tell the truth about Jesus. And so they began to try to find somebody to lie about him. And as Jesus stood there, people would come and they would try to find some way of criticizing him and finding false witness. The Bible also said, if you turn with me in the book of Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that also at his crucifixion, we find something else that hasn't changed. In chapter 2, in verse 23, the Bible says, and him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I was thinking about watching some time back whenever I was watching Clarence Thomas go through his hearings. And I remember I looked on the pain in his face and upon his eyes. And I remember when you had people like Ted Kennedy sitting criticizing him and talking about how immoral he was, and did the same thing about Bork, another a Supreme Justice that they were successful in keeping up there. But yet he, of all people, that not only had he committed many, many offenses and got by with it, but of course most of you know the story of where he took a girl and she drowned and he walked off and left her. And he sits up there and wants to criticize. And I was thinking about how, and I was looking at that that group that was sitting there throwing judgments this week. And I was looking at several things I knew about their past. And I was thinking about how wicked they are to sit and look and have that kind of action and to be able to say things and not be condemned themselves. And here they are. They're wanting to crucify this guy. Well, they did the same thing with Jesus. The world hasn't changed. Wicked hands took Jesus, the very Son of God.
Amen.
And they nailed him to the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 3. In verse 17, the Bible says this. And now, brethren, I wrought that through ignorance ye did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. They didn't know, but what was happening with Jesus was the will of God. Some people were doing it ignorantly. And sometimes you hear people say things ignorantly. They're ignorant of what's going on. It's amazing sometimes. I watch them and they'll take a microphone to some of them protesters out there protesting something, and they don't have a clue what's going on. They're ignorantly out there.
Right.
Somebody stirred them up and they grabbed a sign. Somebody paid for those signs. And President Trump was right. When you look at those protesters, those signs aren't made in the basement somewhere. Those are built, made, and somebody puts forth money to get all those done. Then, of course, you see in John chapter 7, you see something else that was evident. If you'll turn John chapter 7. I was thinking how the world hadn't changed. Not that I'm relating Judge Kavanaugh to Jesus at all. I'm relating the world that handled the situation this week. And what I want you to see is, you think that the world would learn by seeing what they've done to Jesus. The world is still the world.
Yeah.
Not only through they do it through ignorance and wickedness and false testimony and betrayal, but look if you would in John chapter 7. The Bible says in verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is already ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. I was noticing this week what hatred there was. Spite. Hateful. They didn't care. You know, somebody said, why don't you Republicans? I had someone ask me this. Well, I was talking about how that they would run in and run people off from restaurants and not allow them to eat. They said, well, why don't you do it? I said, because I've got more gumption than that. I wouldn't do that to my enemy. I wouldn't run in and try to shame them and try to do that. That's not in me to do. But you see, I'm not full of hatred. When you're full of hatred, somebody said Christians are full of hatred. That's not true. I hate the sin. I hate the sin of what homosexuality is doing to people, destroying their souls. I hate the sin of what many things are happening in America. But I don't hate anybody. There's people that I detest what they do. But I feel sorry for them, knowing that if they don't wake up and they don't come out of their ignorance, they're going to die without Jesus. But here the Bible says, and Jesus said, they hated me. And I was thinking, you know, the problem with the left is they're just full of hatred because they don't have Christ. They don't have the love of God. They're missing it. But there was one other thing that put Jesus upon the cross that didn't put the judge, and that was my sins and your sins. You see, Jesus died for us. He came to the cross because of us.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I wasn't there when Jesus was there. If you had been, you know where you'd probably been? Crucify him. Put him to death. You said, oh, I would never have done that. You don't know what you would have done. But I will tell you this, our sins put him upon the cross. Now get this a minute, and I'll close. Remember that story I told you about the dad? What greater testimony could he have had to the world and to the community to see what happened to his son? But you know what God allowed his son? He could have took and he could allow Jesus to die a comforting death. But yet he allowed his beaten, bruised, tortured, naked body to hang on a cross for all the world to view, to see the wickedness of the world and what they did to the very Son of God, because they hated the truth.
That's right.
In which he portrayed. What a loving Savior we have. And you see, when I looked upon that body, when I looked upon that slain Son of God, when I saw what man did to him, I realized God's love for me. His love made me love him because of what he did through Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? The Bible says that there was 12 legions of angels that could have come and destroyed and wiped out every man that was doing. But yet God allowed his son to hang there in shame as they stripped his clothes after they had tortured him and smacked him and beat him and spit in his face and whipped him and done all the things they'd done. And him sitting there hanging upon the body. Can you imagine what God was feeling when he looked upon his son? And yet Jesus hanging there naked in shame, about to give up. The words he said to the people that did it to him: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a loving Savior we have. Amen. Let's stand tonight.
Page 20. Amen. Lord.
Oh, what a Savior to come. What a God, what a Father, Heavenly Father we have, to be willing to watch His Son be displayed for the world to see. What the world did to him, injustice, false witnesses, betrayals, ignorance, hatred, all put Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. And besides that, mine and your sins, nailed him there to the cross. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, he suffered for our transgressions. Yes, we put him there. Amen. Let's sing tonight, Brother Porter.
My Lord,
like nothing.